evening, members.
This is it.
Happy Corinth.
Yeah, we are. Agenda item one, members. Can I just draw your attention to the notices, sound recording, fire, health safety, and CCTV.
Noted.
Apologies for absence.
Apologies for absence have been received from councillors Dobson, Mrs. Harker, McKenzie, and Shrimpton.
Thank you. Agenda item three, to confirm the minutes of the meeting of the committee held on the 28th October 2015. Do we agree the minutes?
No.
Thank you, Chairman. It's disclosure of interest, item four, and it's actually on page two. I have this written down for our note taker, so which I will pass on. It should read as follows: Councillor S.J. Savage declared a non-pecuniary interest in item C1 FUL/MAL/15/00183 as he was acquainted with a change of use from industrial to a domestic building. Interesting part of this is floor to ceiling 14 feet from the developer.
What?
Full stop. I now pass that over. Further, this constitutes 0.02.40 to 0.03.05 of the tape of the meeting, verbatim.
Thank you, Councillor Savage.
The declaration of interest as printed is not only misleading wrong, but I never said that. I've just passed it on what just read out.
Thank you, Councillor Savage, as we'd already agreed. Agenda item four, members, disclosure of interests. You know the rundown on that. Have we got members briefing today?
No
members briefing today?
We're going to be the one at Northwest went for early, there's no urgent item, and we're going to be getting into cycle, okay. So
all right.
Northwest won't be having one next month, but we'll all be into the same. No
members briefing tonight, members, which is just as well, because we might be on for a bit of a record tonight, I reckon.
Tim, can I just make a declaration?
Sure.
So, agenda item number four, I'd like to declare an interest because in agenda item six, C2, as I know the objective.
Okay. Agenda item six.
That would be the same for me.
Okay, thank you. Agenda item six, planning applications. Can I draw your attention to the members' update?
Chairman, you'll have to admit C2 as well.
Okay, you're ready, Councillor Savage.
Yeah.
Can we have that in writing in the next meeting? Or is this okay?
Well, I think it varies from the same declaration as my other two colleagues.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Right, agenda item six. This is planning applications. We have... C1 Malden East. I'll hand over to the officers for a presentation. We're taking them, obviously they're being taken together, those two.
Thank you, Chair. The first item relates to Milton Manor, 48 Wants Road in Malden. Planning permission and listed building consent is sought for the variation of condition 2, which relates to the approved plans, on planning permission 1400850 and listed building consent application 1400851. Permission was granted as part of these applications for the conversion of the existing building to form 5 dwellings and the erection of 3 new dwellings to the rear of Middleton Manor. The proposed alterations sought include the removal of the portico to the front elevation of Terrace 1 and internal alterations to Plot 2. So if I can just talk members through the plans. So we've got the location plan. The site is located within the Malden Conservation Area and comprises a Grade 2 listed building. So we've got the proposed block plan. So we've got the 5 residential properties in Terrace 1 and 3 residential properties to Terrace 2. No alterations are proposed to the site layout. We've got the proposed floor plans to Terrace 1. and the proposed floor plans to Terrace 2. I've got the proposed elevations of Terrace 1, and then the extant elevation plans of Plot 2. So if I can just flip between the two, just to draw members' attention to the fact that the portico element is to be removed as part of this application. And then we've got the proposed elevation plans to Terrace 2, so no alterations have been proposed when compared to the extant permission. And then we've got some photos of the site. So these photos are taken from Once Road. So you can see there the portico element, which is to be removed as part of this scheme. And we've got photos from the southern elevation and northwest of the plot. And then we've got photos taken from the rear of Terrace 1. And then we've got some historic photos of the site showing that the portico is not an original feature of the unit. The application is recommended for approval, and it is recommended that listed building consent is also granted. If I can just draw members' attention to the members' updates, we do have some amended conditions. Since writing the officer report, a number of conditions have been discharged, and the updated conditions reflect the details that the council have already approved under the extant permission. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Savage.
Thank you, Chairman. Now, I called this in for one reason and one reason only. I totally disagree with the attitude that has been taken on that portico. Having spoken to the conservation officer, who said it is a relatively recent thing, I would like to point out that that portico had full planning permission to be added to a listed building in the conservation area. Therefore, it remains of some importance, and it should remain. My understanding of this application is that that door is slightly going to be changed and moved. Therefore, the portico has to come away. Having spoken to the conservation officer, he tells me that portico can be deconstructed and should be moved in accordance with the door. I'm only objecting to this because of that portico. The rest is okay. And I hope, members, you will agree that that portico not only breaks up not a very good area of that building, but balances it, because the bay window is going to remain. And that is the only reason that I have called this in. However, I would like, if I may, to ask a question of the officers, and that is an area on the main plan. If you could show us the main plan, please. No, next one, please. Keep going. It's the site plan, I think.
Location.
Right, that's it. Now, you see at the back of it, there is a red line going through, and there's a little bit to the left. But that bit to the left is our property, and the builders appear to have not only removed our Harris fencing, but they've got a container on there, and they park their tracked vehicles on there without our permission. And I would like it formally noted that this does need to be investigated, and if there's going to be any change in the rent, because it used to be rented at $5,000 a year and it isn't, and they shouldn't be there. But I'd like to get back to the main point. The portico had full plan permission on a listed building and a conservation site, and it should stay with that door. Thank you.
Chair, I'd just like to come back to the second point that Councillor Savage raised. The planning enforcement team is aware of the structure on our land, and I've spoken to the appropriate officers within the authority which deal with our management of our land, and so we are aware of it. It's something that is being investigated.
You want to answer the second point?
That was also.
Also, I would like to say that obviously that isn't a material consideration determining this application, though. In relation to the first point, is the case officer, do you want to pick that up or not? But yeah, obviously like to explain to you that, as was stated in the presentation, this is a addition that has come after the original building. Any addition to a listed building does become listed as part of the building, so listed building consent is required. However, that doesn't automatically mean that it has any value to the historic building. So members will need to decide whether or not this, because relative to the application of the prime issue is, does relate to this on the aesthetics on the outside of the structure, whether or not the loss of this architectural feature detracts from the historic character of the building to such a degree to warrant a refusal.
Councillor Miss Lewis.
Thank you. I've got some sympathy with Councillor Savage, and because I had felt that that had been an original feature. It is slightly incongruous, but you could imagine it having always been intended to be there. And I still felt that it had value until I saw if we could go back to the historic photographs. Until you see the terrace without it, you can actually understand, I can understand, how, as a feature, I think it's a distractor. If we can have a look at the artist's impression of the front elevation. And I think that, if you take out that portico, that's such a lovely terrace now. It would be, you know, not quite worthy of Bath, but not far off. And so I'm afraid, whilst I have some sympathy with Councillor Savage, I actually think that in the context of this alteration, I rather like it without the portico, so I would be happy to propose that this goes ahead as stated.
Councillor Hurd, Councillor Pearlman, and then Councillor Mrs. Chen.
Yes, I find myself agreeing with Councillor Miss Lewis. My understanding was that the portico was a 70s edition, but looking at the papers, it's actually 1980s. And I think that the appearance of it, it wasn't intended to be on there. It's not as if the door is actually right in the middle. So I don't agree that it balances, and I would be happy to second Councillor Miss Lewis's proposal.
Councillor Pearlman.
Chairman, actually, Councillor Hurd is basically said everything I was going to say, and so has Councillor Miss Lewis, so that's, I'm not being tried to that, thank
Councillor
you.
Mrs. Chandler, and then Councillor Miss Beale.
Firstly, apologies for being late, Chairman, and can I declare my non-interest at this point, non-pecuniary Essex County Council, and get consulted on highways and goodness knows what else. I thought Councillor Savage said something about the door moving. I can't. Is the door moving? Because I didn't get pick that up at all that the door was moving. He seemed to say something about the door moving, the portico. The portico has been replaced, but I wasn't sure. He seemed to have inferred the door was moving. I'm not clear that's the case at all.
Through you, Chair, no, the door is not moving as part of the application.
Yes, they're moving the portico and the other elements.
That's Miss Beale.
Chairman, I was just wondering if we're talking about balance, why that bay window is staying
exactly.
It's not being reinstated as the rest. To me, that would look a lot more aesthetic than having one bay window stuck in the middle of that. It looks ridiculous like that. Could that be a condition that we actually have that window reinstalled?
No, it's not part of the application.
No.
So we have members, we have the recommendation to approve. I don't know whether Councillor Savage would like to put a counter proposal. If he does, then speak now.
Well, it had full planning permission. It's a listed building. It was felt at the time, but I have to say, when you're going to have that bay window in, which wasn't there as original, it's just as bad. In fact, I think it looks even worse. But the portico does balance it up. So I propose that this be refused on the fact that the portico missing, the bay window should go as well.
Do we have a seconder for... A seconder. So, do you want to take a vote on that? Should we take a vote on that, members? Those in favour of Councillor Savage's recommendation to refuse? Those against? You need. In that case, then we approve the proposal, members.
That's why you confused me.
Sorry.
The other vote should have been taken first, but now we've got to.
Okay, those in favour of the approval then? Approved recommendation, yeah. Okay. You know what I meant, members, right? If no, I didn't. Sita. Maldino.
Thank you, Chair. The second application relates to 2A Gate Street in Maldon. Planning Commission has sought for the change of use of an existing building into 2 one-bedroom residential units. The existing workshop to the north of the site is to be retained. Permission has already been granted on the site for both units to be converted into residential units. So if I can just talk members through the plans. So we've got the location plan. The application site is located on the southern side of Gate Street within the Maldon Conservation Area. We've got the proposed block plan. So 2B, which is shown here, is the workshop that is to be retained. And this is the element here which is to be converted into residential usage. And so we've got the existing elevation plans and with the proposed elevation plans showing alterations to fenestration. And then we've got the extant permission there. We've got the existing floor plan showing that the site accommodates an office unit and a workshop. And then the proposed plan showing that the workshop to the north of the site is to be retained and the southernmost unit would accommodate 2 one-bedroom units, so one at first floor and one at ground floor. So we've got some photos of the site. So this is a view of the site taken from Gate Street. We've got the unit to be converted to residential use at the top. And then the photo at the bottom shows the unit to be retained as a workshop. We've got views towards the neighbouring plots. And then views of the western elevation of the plot taken from the neighbouring unit. So the application is recommended for approval subject to conditions. Thank you, Chair.
Which one? Councillor Hurd.
Well, Chair, it's not actually my ward, but if you're happy for me to go ahead...
Well, I can speak second.
Indeed, okay. This has already come to us as two dwellings. And no workshop. And what this application is for now is for them saying, no, we want to keep the workshop and squeeze even more these two dwellings in the middle. My concern is that bearing in mind that it is a town centre dwelling, there's no amenity space whatsoever because they say there's no need to have that. But I think there is a space for two vehicles to park. Now, if they have a workshop, that implies to me that there's going to be some work going on there. And if there is going to be some work, where is the vehicle going to go? Because that will actually block those houses at the very bottom where those things were taken. So I think this is certainly a very awkward backland development, and whilst I wasn't happy with the first application that was passed, but this is squeezing even more whoever does live there into much smaller accommodation, and I don't think that it is suitable at all. There's nowhere to put any washing. There's nowhere to do anything at all because there's no amenity space there. So I would go. I would propose that we don't accept this.
I would second that.
Councillor Pearlman.
Yes, Chairman. Well, basically, if we look at the Maldon Town Council objection, I would still like to reinforce that the scheme would result in awkward backland development, likely to prejudice the amenity of neighbouring dwellings and constitute an inappropriate form of housing, lack of sufficient parking and access to neighbouring properties. So I agree with everything that Councillor Hurd said. And if you look at the objections from various businesses and residents, I don't agree with all of them, but I agree with the majority of. So although this has already been seconded, I'd like to also propose that it be refused.
I think members should realise that we're looking at it from a Maldon District Council perspective and not the Town Council.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with that, Chairman, but I would just bring a note to that.
I know there is an existing planning approval on here, isn't there, the officer? Would you take us through what it's, the existing approval is, please?
So this is the extent alterations to the extent permission.
Could you use your microphone? Sorry, I'm finding it hard to hear.
And then this shows the floor plans of the extant permission. So we've got two separate units of residential accommodation, one accommodating two bedrooms and the other accommodating one bedroom. So both the workshop and the 2A would be utilised for residential accommodation as part of this scheme.
So there's no workshop accommodation in this one at all?
No.
And I seem to remember we had a long debate in this chamber when this first came up, because we had to be convinced that the workshop was effectively redundant, that they couldn't rent it out, that it was no longer required as a workshop, and that there was no need to keep a workshop within this planning, within this little development. And they convinced us that that workshop wasn't a requirement, and yet they've now got the two units again with a workshop, and the next time the workshop isn't required, will it become a third unit? I think that they did a very good job of convincing us that there was no requirement for a workshop in that area, that they couldn't let it, and that it was not used. So I would actually suggest that this be refused, because they told us themselves that there was no requirement for a workshop in that area.
Any other members? Councillor Savage?
Yes, Chairman. In spite of your comments, I would like to go back to Malden Town Council's objection and ask where is the rest of it, because it went half an A4 page. And I seem to recall that there was a question on the accuracy of the plans.
We'll let the officers come back on those points and then we'll take a vote.
So. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to come back to Councillor Savage's point. First, obviously, that doesn't relate to the actual determination of the application. As with all consultation responses and neighbour responses, these are a summary of what was received. We do not put in verbatim the responses we received. Especially, and you think on one of the large schemes where we get 100 letters of objection, if we did that, you know, it would become an unwieldy tomb. So for that reason, that is a summary, and as members are, and some members do come, they come and ask to look at the file if they wish to see a full comment or consultation response, and members are welcome to do that. I've picked up sort of five sort of concerns that the sort of the members have raised during the discussion. As members have said, there is a extant permission on the site, and what members or decision maker needs to do is to note whether there'll be any demonstrable harm between what extant permission sits there at the moment and any scheme coming forward before them, so in this case this scheme. Our policies, the council's policies, accept that in town centre locations amenity space may not be required. We have accepted no amenity space on two dwellings in that site, one of which is a two-bedroom property, one of which was a one-bedroom. In this instance, there are two one-bedroom properties, and I think it would be unreasonable for us to look to refuse it on amenity space provision when comparing it to what the council has already accepted as a two-bedroom property potentially will be family accommodation, where a one-bedroom property is unlikely to be, and is something that, through the planning system, is considered more likely to not require amenity space. Similar argument to certain extent with the car parking. It is a town centre location. Our policy does allow for a relaxation, or the government guidance and our policy always allows for relaxation in car parking because it is a maximum. But as a town centre location, we have to consider whether or not the change of use will result in demonstrable harm. At the moment, there would be two car parking spaces for the extant permission. The level of car parking proposed doesn't change, but in theory there is a existing workshop which would have a car parking. So while I wouldn't encourage members to go down that direction, I think there is some planning merit in those comments. Once again, backland comments, this site has already got permission for two dwellings, and I don't think that would stand up and appeal due to the fact that we've already accepted this site as residential development. I'm not really sure about the relation of amenity of neighbours. At the end of the day, once again, permission has been granted for two dwellings. There is a workshop there. I don't think that any increase in, you know, the extra two dwellings, but which are smaller when compared against what's been granted already, would result in any demonstrable harm. you know, we have lost as an authority a couple of applications that have been based on increasing noise from slight light change of use of one dwelling to flats or something, so I would have concerns in relation to that. And once again, in relation to the workshop, at the end of the day, we have to determine the application in front of us. I can see where members' concerns come from, and I think they are valid concerns, but at the end of the day, we have to determine the application in front of us. So I'd have concerns exactly how I'd word a reason for refusal about that. But thank you.
Councillor Savage and then Councillor...
Thank you. The reason I asked for this extra information that should be here, because the summary I'm going to accept, where's the rest of the summary? It's shown as parking. That parking is allocated to other premises and it's being misled. There is a shop on the high street has parking. Sorry, I cannot give to approve this particular site and what has been put before us.
Are you still querying about the town council?
I'm saying in the town council it says that the parking that appears to be for these new dwellings is actually somebody else's.
I know there's a lot of town councillors here, members, but this is for Morden district members. We are
district councillors as well.
I know, but the office... The office has already explained that the file was there, and we're trying to reduce the amount of paper we use.
What I'm saying, Chairman, is that while I accept that the overall gist of the comments of the town council can be presaged, I think the presaged we've got here is a little too small.
Okay, we'll note that. Councillor Lewis, Ms. Lewis.
I think you'd have to make it sound planning proper. But I would imagine that we've now got 3 units of activity where we previously had 2 units of activity. And I would suggest that must be getting very, very close to overdevelopment. The parking situation also was highlighted, and deliveries to the workshop and the lack of information about what the workshop could or couldn't be used for is also highlighted by the Environmental Health Officer on page 16 of 24. And so they wanted us to put in measures to protect against noise and odour and all sorts of things. Now, I'm sorry, if we're going to that extent with 3 units of activity where I really do feel that this is over development now and has the potential of coming in front of us in future with a third dwelling in the workshop. And so I think that with 3 units of activity, 2 living units and 1 working unit in a space of that size, it's over development.
Okay, members, let's bring this to a vote then. The recommendation is to approve, and we have a counter recommendation to refuse by, I think, Councillor Hurd proposed, and I think Councillor Savage second. So, those in favour of approval? Okay, can you. So, we now take the vote. Councillor Hurd?
Yeah, there's been quite a few points discussed by different members. Can we have clarity on what
I'll ask them. I'll ask them for the clarity. So, if you'd like to put your proposal again, Councillor Hurd, so we can note it in the minutes and the officers can understand exactly what the reasons are for refusal.
Thank you, Chairman. I think that I'll certainly go with Councillor Miss Lewis's words about overdevelopment on the site, and that, again, that the scheme would result in awkward backland development.
No, I think that was probably... So we've got to be careful here, because obviously if this goes to appeal, we need to be very careful how we word it. I think the office has already suggested that if we use backyard development, it's likely to work against us rather than work for us. So, I don't know, would you like to try and offer some help?
Through you, Chairman. As you said, I wouldn't feel comfortable with us using backland for the fact we've already accepted this site's residential development.
So, Chairman, if I'm, I mean, perhaps I might use the words overdevelopment.
Yeah,
overdevelopment.
That has also been highlighted, and I think we, you know, take into account the other points that have been raised, such as car parking, and also maybe take into account comments that were made in relation to the adjoining dwelling, or the adjoining workshop, sorry, we could possibly form a reasonable refusal related to overdevelopment and including car parking and relationship with the adjoining workshop. But I think between what members have said, I think they would be the basis of a reasonable refusal that has some sort of planning merit, but a couple of the other things such as community space and backland development I don't think would really add to that, and as Councillor Kane says, the Chairman said, you know, may undermine us at appeal from distracting from the more salient points.
Are you happy for the officers to sort of formulate something around what's been said, Councillor Hurd, in addition to what your
Chairman, indeed I am. As far as the amenity space goes, I was concerned that they were just being more and more compressed into that area. But yes, I'm certainly happy with what the officer has suggested. I'm grateful for his help.
So, those in favour of refusal, members? That's carried then. Thank you. Right. Agenda item 7, other area planning matters. Have you got any comments on these? Or any comments from members at all on this? Bill 1 and Little 2? Yeah.
I think there's a I'm looking at the right thing. One and Little 2, yeah, the appeal decisions, I thought the Timby Road at Basin Road was very good. Result?
Yeah.
Certainly was, Chairman, because not only did it give us what we considered to be the right result, but it also meant that the inspector who dealt with it had an opportunity to declare that our 5-year housing land supply was indeed sound.
Good.
Thank you,
Councillor Savage.
On the
amendment. Yeah.
Further to that, I don't know if members have seen the appeal decision that came through yesterday. I can't remember the address at all, but the actual we've been forwarding on the Timby Yard decision to the Planning Inspectorate in relation to appeals that are ongoing that relate to household dwellings and arguments in relation to 5-year land supply, and the inspector, when determining that appeals, accepted the point from this appeal decision and gave it great weight. So it's going to have a demonstrable success and helpful for us. Yeah, yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Thank you, members. Agenda item 8. Any other business which chairman of the committee decides are urgent? There are none. Agenda item 9, exclusion of the public and press, resolved that under section 100A(4) of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following items of business on the grounds that it involves a likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 6 of part 1 of schedule 12A to the Act, and that this satisfies the public interest test.